Wednesday night, I love Wednesdays because you never know what's going to happen on a Wednesday night. It's just times that we're learning as a body, as a local church, as a body to, you know, to flow together, let the Spirit of God work through each and every one of us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, every one of you, when you come together, you may have a song, you may have a tongues and interpretation, you may have a doctrine, there's all kinds of things. You may have a teaching. And what you find that the model for the early church is that instead of everybody being in the congregation being spectators and just listening to the pastor, you really find that the model for the early church was that they were active participants. You know, every one of us has a supply of the Spirit to give to each other. And so we're just, you know, opening ourselves up to that, particularly on Wednesday nights. And so this past Wednesday, as different things were being shared, there's something that just went off in me as somebody was sharing from Mark 11, 22 and 23. So let's turn over there. I'm going to start something this morning that I believe is going to, I know it's going to bless me, and I hope that you get blessed out of it, okay? Because I've been studying this out. Let me ask you a few questions as we turn over there. These are some questions that are commonly asked amongst believers. I get these questions as a pastor, and that is things like this: why didn't I get what I prayed for? Do I not have enough faith? Am I not believing right? How does faith work? I thought I knew how it worked. How do I believe God? How many of you have had those questions before in your life? How do I get more faith? All of those things that we've struggled with in our lives, I believe that the Lord's given me some answers to that. And I hope to give those to you next year sometime. No, we're going to start answering those questions today. Okay. Mark chapter 11. And let's just back up a little bit, so that you get a sense of the context of the story. In verse 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And so they went on to Jerusalem. Jesus cast out the money changers. You may know that story. But then look at verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by. So they went back out of the city. They spent the night. And in the morning, when they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. So Jesus uses this as an example to begin to illustrate some things to them. In verse 22, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, this is Jesus' prescription for answered prayer. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, or that you've received them, and you shall have them. Amen. What I want to do here is kind of pause, and I want you to start looking at Jesus' focus in his ministry. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. I need to build a little bit of a foundation before I start answering some of these questions. In Matthew chapter 8, this is just, this whole chapter is just full of Jesus healing people. And so in verse 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them and that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in all of Israel. This man wasn't even an Israelite, but yet he was willing to believe that Jesus just had to speak the word. He had a level of faith that even the people that were following him didn't. Now turn with me over to chapter 9. Look at verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Of course, somebody asked me the question, how'd the blind men follow him? I have no idea. I guess they were just listening. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. So somehow they made it inside the house, and they came to him. And Jesus said unto them, pay attention here. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? I think that it's interesting that Jesus is looking for their faith. What is it that they believe in this situation? Sometimes I think that we're so quick to pray for people and to lay hands on people and that sort of thing that we never find out what a person really believes. Where are they? And then look at this. I just think that this is amazing. Because we don't do this. And to me, Jesus is the model. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about with the Holy Ghost and with power. Don't forget that part. That's what he was anointed with. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick or all that were oppressed of the devil. And then in John, he told us, he said, whosoever believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these. See, so if you are a believer, and I'm a whosoever, I don't know about you, I'm a whosoever, but the works that Jesus did, I'm supposed to be doing. That's what he said. I can't try to theologically work my way around that and say, well, that's not for us believers today. No, Jesus said whosoever, and that's the same thing as whosoever believes on him shall be saved. So I just got to believe what Jesus said. So why do we not see people doing the works of Jesus today? Because maybe they haven't really taken the time to find out how Jesus did it. What's the model? You know, I own a computer business, and I could tell you, if you came to work for me, I got a better example than that. Derek here plays keyboards, does a very good job, And so Derek could tell you that, Melanie, you're going to do what he does on the keyboards. Now, I know Melanie, and she said it would not be pretty. Now, what if she just went up there and just said, oh, well, Derek said I'm going to, and just started doing it? Well, she's not going to do it. Why? Because Derek, she hasn't spent time with Derek to be taught what to do. She can't do it the way Derek does it until she learns how Derek does it. I can't do the works of Jesus until I learn how Jesus did the works. Does that make sense? Sometimes we take just a phrase and say, oh, well, then that just automatically means that I can do it. No, let's learn how we're supposed to do it. So back here in Matthew, he said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes. And he didn't say, be healed. He didn't say, it's done. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. It's pretty powerful. According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. So what we learn here is, at least in the blind man's instances, their faith was involved in them receiving their healing. It was dependent on them receiving their healing. It wasn't just Jesus's power that did it. Remember with the woman with the issue of blood, as she came behind and she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus really wasn't actively involved in that. He turned around. He's like, he felt the power go out of him. And he said, who did this? And he said, woman, your faith has made you whole. I'm building up to something. Turn with me. Let's just keep turning pages. I believe it is chapter 17. Yes, let's go to chapter 17. Jesus, Peter, James, and John had just gone up into the mountain. They saw Jesus transfigured before him. Before them, they saw Elijah and Moses talking to Jesus. Powerful, powerful time. And in verse 14, when they were come down to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. I've never called my son a lunatic. But the kid was crazy. He had a demonic spirit. And he's sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. I guess if my son was throwing himself into the fire and water, I'd say he's being pretty crazy too. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, these are the guys that had been given authority over demons, that had been given authority over sicknesses. They had gone out, they had healed people and all of that. But I want you to see what happens here. And Jesus answered and said, oh, what? Faithless. Say it with me. Oh, what? Faithless and perverse generation. He's talking to his own people that is walking with him. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring them here to me. In other words, he was upset that they could not get the job done. Hold your finger there and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Yes, we're going to a lot of scripture. I have to build this foundation. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This is a good biblical definition of what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the material in the spirit realm that brings things into reality in this natural realm. If you don't have that operating in your life, you'll never receive from God, because everything we receive by faith. Now look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. We're trying to do stuff in our life, hoping to earn God's favor, hoping to make him happy. Lord, I just want to live right. I just want to do what's right. And God says, are you believing me? Let me rephrase. How much do you believe me in your daily life? How much do you believe me with your finances? How much do you believe me with your family? How much do you believe me with your body? How much do you believe me and what my word says? Do you believe me 100%? Or are you still trying to do everything your own way? Are your finances based on what you're making at your job? Or do you believe that I can supply all of your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Where's your trust? What do you believe? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must do what? Believe that he exists. Believe that he is. I could spend all the rest of the service there. God says, I am that I am. In other words, everything that you need for your situation right now, God is. Do you believe that he is that for your situation? And we must believe something else, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that as you seek God, as you obey his voice, as you make him the priority in your life, that he is going to reward you? That there are rewards and there are things that are going to happen in your life. Do you believe that? Now let's go back to Matthew 17. So verse 17, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Hold your finger there. Let's look at Mark's version of this same story. Turn with me to Mark. Chapter 9. Verse 20. This is right after Jesus said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, immediately, straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowing and foaming. Now let me describe this for a moment. Seth, would you come here for a second? Seth is the lunatic son. For teaching purposes only. Now, the father brings the boy to Jesus, and immediately he starts falling on the ground, wallowing and foaming. Can you do that, please? Rolling around and just acting crazy. Come on. Shake around, son. Shake around. There it is. Now, here's what I want you to notice for a moment. You can stay right there while I'm teaching. most of us, if we're doing something, if we're in a situation and we say, bring him here, and then he starts doing this. Come on. Shake, boy. There we go. Then we're like, we're going to start kind of freaking out, like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? What Jesus does is he ignores what's happening and he turns back to the Father and says, how long has it been like this? Wow. Thank you, Seth. Demonic spirits, devils, want attention. They want to draw attention to themselves. Don't give attention to a manifestation of the devil. Because what they're doing doesn't matter. You know where your authority is. So Jesus, he wasn't moved by what was going on there. He just turned back to the Father and said, how long has he been like this? Ignored the devil. Some of you need to start ignoring the devil. Don't let what's going on attract your attention. Your eyes need to stay on what thus saith the Lord. Don't be moved by what anything else is going on, but except for what Jesus has said. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let him develop and to finish the thing that you're believing God for. So this is what happened. How long, verse 21, has it been since this came to him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now look at what Jesus said. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. See, Jesus was interested in more than just setting this boy free. Jesus was interested in where this father was with his believing. Jesus, throughout his ministry, was trying to get people to believe, was helping people to grow in faith. He is interested in what you believe today, not so much in you coming to a place so that you can get healed or so that you can get fed, but what are you doing in your life? Is your faith growing? Do you believe God? Do you have a lifestyle of believing God? Because once you get to that place that you believe God, all things are possible to you who believes. All things. So what this tells me is that it's not an issue of what God wants to do in my life and that I have to discern what his will is, because he's given me his will in his word. What this tells me is if I want all things to be possible to me, then I've got to get to where I believe. And so maybe what that means is when I thought I believed, maybe I wasn't really believing.
All right, come on.
If I'm not receiving what I've been praying for and what I've been believing for. Amen. That's good preaching. And straightway the father of the child cried with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And so when Jesus saw the people running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, you dumb and deaf spirit. All spirits are dumb. You dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter into him no more. And the spirit cried, it rent him sore. In other words, it continued shaking and convulsing and came out of him. And then he was laying there as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Now, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 17 and pick this up. You get a full picture as you read both of these accounts. So in verse 18, Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So then came the disciples to Jesus apart, and they said, why could we not cast him out? These are men that had been casting out devils. They had seen people healed. Why could we not cast him out? The next phrase is the answer to the question. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove from here to over there, and it shall remove, and nothing. Somebody say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing shall be impossible to you. Yeah. What has worked its way into the body of Christ, into Pentecostal, charismatic churches, non-denominational churches, what has worked its way into there is accepting compromise, accepting some unbelief, accepting that not all things are possible to him that believes. We have in our churches across the nation and around the world, we have dumbed down the gospel to make it easy for people to say, I'm okay with the way I live my life. I'm okay with a little bit of victory. I'm okay with a little bit of defeat. As long as I have a miracle now and then, I know God's working in my life. And so what's happened is we've created complacent Christians that are just okay and that are not stepping out and believing God to the fullness, to the fullest, so that all things are possible to them. We've allowed Satan to encroach into our lives, and we've been okay putting up with a little bit of sin, putting up with a little bit of compromise, putting up with a little bit of loss and not winning here and there, putting up with not having our prayers answered. And we're not fighting, and we're not being bold enough to say, no more, Satan, you will not come any further into my life. Satan, you will not have any place. I give you no place in my life. I will believe my God. All things are possible to me. He said, I can have life and have it more abundantly. And I believe what God has said, and I will do what is necessary to get myself to the place that I'm believing God so that all things are possible to me. God is looking for a generation that will raise up, that will believe him unconditionally, that will step out in faith, that will not be concerned about what other people are saying, what other people are preaching, but that will believe him and him alone and start dispelling the works of darkness out of the lives of those around him. It's time for us to believe God. The disciples said, why could we not cast them out? The answer was simple: because of your unbelief. But they were like the rest of us. They thought they were believing. They thought they were believing. How do we fix that? How do we change that? Let's go back to Mark 11, 22. So they saw the fig tree that was dried up. And Jesus answered and said unto them, when they said, look at what happened. And Jesus began to illustrate what I think is so important for us to get. So I'm going to make a few statements, and then I'm going to bring it around to what the point of this message that Jesus was teaching is. Jesus said, have faith in God. This is... let me just keep going. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I'm going to stop there for just a moment. I was raised on this scripture. Mark 11:23, Mark 11:24. We talk about you can have what you say. We look at, we know that we've been created in the image of God. We know that God created the worlds with his words. And we know that we as believers, according to the scripture, just like Abraham, as he started saying, I'm the father of many nations, that the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18, I believe it is, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Sometimes Christians don't really have a concept of how powerful that little tongue is in their life. And so we'll talk about bad things all the time. You know, it's really amazing to me. Some people, if the flu season comes around, they'll say that, hey, I'm probably going to be the first one to get it. And they really believe it. And guess what happens? They're the first ones. And then they'll say, see, I told you that I was going to get it. They're proud of the fact that what they said came to pass. But you turn right around and you say the opposite. And you say, you know what? I'm not going to get it. It's not going to come nigh me. They think that you're crazy because you're believing something different than the world believes. So I believe this, and we use this scripture as kind of the scripture to support the power that's in our own words. And then we'll go to the next verse. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And we'll take that verse and we'll say, now here is God's prescription. And I kind of said it at the beginning of the service. Here is God's prescription for answered prayer. And so if I'm teaching on how do you get your prayers answered, here's one of the scriptures I'm going to go to. Right? So we know this. So if for a lot of people, if you say Mark 11:23, they'll come up, you can have what you say. If you say Mark 11:24, I can have whatever I desire when I pray for it. And that's the focus that we usually look at it. And that is not the focus that Jesus was placing.
Come on now. Come on.
This is where I'll try to stand still and not get too excited. This is what I started seeing Wednesday night. Jesus starts the subject in verse 22. He said, have faith in God. Now, let me give you a couple of definitions very quickly. Faith is a noun. Okay, that's something that you possess, something that you have. But when it's in action, then that word is believe. Just like I could say, I have hope. But when that hope is in action, it's I'm hoping. Okay, or I have love. I'm loving. Well, I have faith, but we don't say I'm faithing. Right? We say, I'm believing. Okay? So don't get too confused that faith and belief, it's the same thing. It's just that one's a noun and the other is a verb in action. All right? So the subject here is have faith in God. So now he's about to expound on having faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. See, not doubting in your heart is related to the subject of having faith in God. But then look at the next phrase, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. If you get your believing right, he says, then you will have whatsoever you say. Look at verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, and we focus on desire and we focus on pray, he says, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. So in three verses, we've got faith, we've got not doubting, believing, and then believing again. I submit to you that the problem is not our praying, that the problem is not our speaking, that the problem is our believing. And that what Jesus is trying to do is to get our believing in line so that the rest falls into place. Now, how can, and this is just an introduction. We're going to be on this for at least 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. Okay. How can I begin to get my believing right? How can I make sure that I am believing God instead of just saying it? You know, a lot of times, people, Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. You'll talk to somebody and say, well, how are you feeling today? Well, I believe I'm healed. Yeah. Can I tell you that just saying that you believe that you're healed doesn't mean that you believe that you're healed? We have learned to use this word believe as a Christian catchphrase to let people know what we're praying for.
Come on, tell it.
I'm telling it. And we'll use this word believe, and it doesn't mean a thing. Look, let me just give you this one principle to start out with. Verse 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. Look at this next phrase. But shall believe that those things, that's a plural, not that the thing. See, when you, if you're doing what he said here, if you speak to the mountain, be removed, you're speaking a thing. No, Jesus is creating a concept, a lifestyle. You believe that those things that you say will come to pass. As we were talking about this after the service, Jennifer had some insight that I thought was just outstanding. We have so trained our words, we have so trained our lifestyle to not believe what we say. My feet are killing me. I don't believe that. I just died laughing. I don't believe that. What you said last week killed me. I don't believe that. You know, that gave me a heart attack. I don't believe that. You go to somebody's house and a little dog comes up. That's a bad dog. You don't believe that. Look at that big dog. Sometimes people come up to my house. I got some very nice dogs, you know, I mean, when I say that, they're sweet, you know, and they'll come to the door, and people that we know, if Jeff or Melanie comes over or something, then as they come in, we'll say, kill, to the dogs, knowing they're not going to kill. I don't believe that. We joke around. We've created a comfort of just not believing that what we say is going to come to pass. Now, that's powerful and profound in and of itself, because it does not meet this criteria that Jesus just laid out. Jesus said you need to believe that everything that you say comes to pass. You need to have a lifestyle that, you know, there's another verse that Jesus said, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. In other words, you speak that which is true. You keep that which is true coming out of your mouth. Now, here's the other side of it. This is what Jennifer saw. Now, because I'm saying things that I don't believe, that I don't want to come to pass in my life. Okay? You know, we say things, we joke around, and we just don't want them to happen. I don't want my feet to kill me. I don't want to die laughing. But we just think that it's a neutral statement, that it has no effect in our lives when we don't believe it. It is not a neutral statement, because what you're doing, while that may not come to pass because you don't believe it, what you are doing because that you don't believe is you are sowing unbelief into your life. You are sowing the seed that I don't believe what I say. And so what happens is when it comes time for prayer, when it comes time that you go to God, you have a lifestyle that is surrounded by unbelief, whether you think so or whether you don't. You just live. This is the way we live. We don't believe. And you keep sowing it, and you keep sowing it, and you keep sowing it, and it's a seed in your heart. And so when it comes time to finally believe God for something, what have you conditioned your heart to do? Not believe. That's the way you live your life. We live our life in unbelief. Oh, but I'm a faith person. There's a lot of unbelief in you faith people. I can promise you that. It's the only reason why that we haven't received. So how do I start making that change? Look, there's a number of things. There's a number of things that the Lord has laid on my heart, but we're kind of short on time. So number one, you need you need to consciously make sure that everything you say you believe is going to happen. In other words, if I tell somebody I'm going to meet you at 9:30 in the morning at such and such a place, don't show up at 9:35. Don't show up at 9:45. If you get stuck in traffic like I did, Derek, the other day, or you did, or whatever, you know, I mean, obviously, but it's not that I was thinking, well, if I'm a few minutes late, I'm okay. No, I believed I was going to be there at that time. Don't allow yourself to joke around about things that you don't believe. Don't keep sowing unbelief into your life. But that's the way that I joke around. What am I going to do? You're not going to talk very much, I guess. You know, I just think that we're living in a day and in a time that we need to get serious about the things of God. That we need to get serious about His Word. Now look, if you're okay with shooting scattershot prayers, shotgun prayers, and hope that you hit something, and every now and then you might get an answer to it, then just stay doing what you're doing. And you know what? God will love you just the same. But if you are like me and you want to walk in the fullness of what God has for you, if you want to learn something about how God can show Himself strong in my life every day, if I want to get to a place that all things are possible to me because I believe, then I've got to change some things about myself. I got to change some things about the way that I speak and the way that I talk and what I believe about the things that I say. I tell you, you watch this week every word that you say and just say, do I believe that or do I not? And you'll be shocked at how much we say that we don't believe. And I'm going to stop there. I could give you the whole thing, but I think that I'm serious about this, that we need to take it a step at a time. There are other things. There are other things. Jesus talked about this kind, he said, because of your unbelief. He said, but this kind doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. Well, that's referring to you getting into a place now that your relationship with God, your time with God, it encourages you. You start building your faith. You believe because you're separated now from what's going on in the world, and you've moved over into the presence of God, which is an atmosphere of faith, an atmosphere for you to believe. And so because Jesus made that commitment, He was at a place that no unbelief and no doubt. We'll also talk about some of the difference between unbelief and faith. You can have faith in some things, but you can have unbelief in your head, and it will stop the work of God from happening in your life. We're going to talk about how to deal with that. Amen. 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 So, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. And so really what I'm talking about is a lifestyle of believing. We're developing a lifestyle of believing him. Glory to God. A lifestyle. Another way to say it is we're developing a life of faith. Isn't it interesting that the Lord told us to change the name of the church to Life of Faith last year? A lifestyle of believing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the revelation of this. I thank you, Father, that as we learn to believe you, as we learn to get rid of all doubt, to get rid of all unbelief, glory to your name. Glory to your name. All things are possible to us that believe. The works that Jesus did will do also. Father, right now I pray for every person in this room. I pray that you begin to show them things that they have said, things that they say, that this whole week, Father, from this Sunday to next Sunday morning, that you help them and show them things that they say that they don't believe. Help them change the way that they speak so they just start speaking truth, speaking the things that they believe. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. How many of you would say this morning, you know that you have a lifestyle of speaking things that you don't believe? Raise your hand. Yeah. Make a commitment right now. Just lift your hands towards heaven right now and say, Father, you know, just do this within your own self, however you want to say it. The way I would say it is just, Father, I just commit to speaking things that I believe. To speaking things that I believe. And things that I don't believe, I'm not going to joke around about. I'm not going to, I don't want to sow unbelief into my life. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name.